Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online too at besteveryou.com. Now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
You know, good afternoon. My eyes kind of cross when I hear my name mentioned twice in an intro. I just realized that. And so we may have to have Randy Kay retape that a little bit. But Randy Kay, thank you so much for taping that intro for us. We are so honored that you are part of our show. And just thank you for, she's a voice behind so many different things. It's awesome to have Randy Kay involved. And you can visit her website at randykay.com. And we'll also play a little outro thing that she taped for us too at the end of the show. But with us today, happy Valentine's Day, everyone. I am so excited that you're all with us and sharing the love, feeling it, and who better than, I was joking before we went on that we had God on the show with us. And, you know, Gary, we have Gary Kovat with us, and how cool is that? And I want to read this. Gary, hello, hello, hello.
Good day, Elizabeth. How are you doing, love?
I'm doing well. I'm sitting here. I saw your picture on Facebook, and it was all these palm trees and beautiful, like, California blue sky, not a cloud in the sky. And I'm like, I want to be there. And is that Palm Springs or Palm Desert?
That was
or
Palm
is that
Springs.
LA?
Yeah, and I went up to Palm Springs with a client, and I paced her in a half marathon. So it may look like amazing and beautiful, which it was. But when you're in a half marathon, you're suffering, and you don't even notice the palm trees, to be honest with you. But that's what I want to talk about today is this balance, this life, this awesome, beautiful palm tree all the way to pain, suffering, frustration, anger, judgment, you know. We're gonna talk a little bit about both of that today.
Yeah, well, while you're outside looking at palm trees, I'm in my front yard doing snow angels. So, you know, we've got like a couple feet of snow out there and whatever. It's still beautiful. It's just different. But I want to read this because I love this. So here we go, guys. You ready? I don't read on the air very much, but I'm going to read this. Okay. Once in a rare while, someone is willing to tell you a truth that will shift the way you think about yourself and the world. This is why I think we have God on air with us, but not quite. When it comes to teaching us to gracefully get older, yeah, yet look and feel younger, assist us to awaken, heal, and step into our true power from our heart with compassionate self-love and self-care, Gary Kovat is the man. And, you know, he said a few words. We interviewed Gary. He graciously agreed to be part of our Motivation Marathon January 14th through the 22nd. And there were two words that he said. It almost didn't matter what else you said the whole hour that you were with us, because you said these words, self-love and self-worth. And it, for me, it was kind of the first time in my 42 years that I'm like, I get it. I don't know what happened, but I'm like, duh, I get it. And so that's why I was like, oh, I need you here on Valentine's Day with me, because for once in my life, I get it, and I get what you're saying, and I hope other people listen to us today and replay this show over and over, because I think you're going to talk more about that. But you love yourself and you love the world, and your purpose is to love us one soul at a time. And you're the best friend to our self-esteem, our self-worth, and sense of deservingness, which is a tough one for a lot of people that anybody could ever have. So I am so happy you're with us.
Well, thank you very much. You know, well, no, our most important relationship we have is with ourselves. And I'm kind of on Facebook a little bit today, and you can go on my homepage, and I'm dropping this and that along the way today. But I'm watching everybody's like, oh, I wish I could find that woman, or I wish I could find that man, or I'm going to find that woman, I'm going to find that man, and that's going to complete me. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. No. Oh, my goodness. Our most important relationship is with ourselves. Let's just say, okay, they don't shift, and they just keep seeking, and they keep reaching out outside, right, of themselves for this relationship. And what they're going to do is they're just going to recreate something they've already had already in their life, or they're just going to create more codependency. And they're going to create maybe more judgment and more, you know, frustrating relationship, or somebody that doesn't honor them, or, you know, betrays them or something. that all starts inside, okay? This is an inside job. So I want to just kind of get to this love thing right from the very beginning. Love is acceptance. Love isn't agreement. So love is about accepting ourselves and accepting somebody else. And just accepting the circumstances, accepting them how they are, and giving, holding some space and allowing them to evolve and to bud and to grow at their pace, not your pace. Okay? And right there, that little looking in ourselves and having some humility and some patience and to allow ourselves to just accept ourselves and then accept somebody else. That work right there is a huge project. I mean, that could take months. That could take years for somebody to just do that one. So love is about accepting, not agreement. And everyone wants them to agree with themselves. And that's not what it is at all. Love is relationship with ourselves. And honoring ourselves and accepting ourselves. I didn't say selfish. I said self-love, self-care. And I wrap all that around a topic I call nourishment. Okay, life's about air and water and light and movement and love and worthiness. And that right there is what flips everybody's switch. That keeps us alive and well and passionate and driven and so forth, right? So without water, we're going to dehydrate, okay? Without light, we're just going to be depressed. You know, the highest, you know, sense of depression and suicide is in Seattle, where it's, you know, always gray. So we need movement. Our body's meant to move. But first and foremost, these two keys that you mentioned earlier is the self-care and self-love. I call that nourishment. And also this worthiness and this deservedness. You know, we were born worthy, and we were born deserving. Somewhere along the line, we listen to mom, or we listen to dad, or we listen to our friends, or we listen to schoolmates, and they said how unworthy we were, and we bought into it. And we bought into this big illusion that we're not worthy. And that right there, we're off course, and we just started following that course. So I ask everybody today, on a day like today, is who's carrying your light? Your light is inside. Your light's not outside. It's not your boyfriend's responsibility. It's not your partner's responsibility, your girlfriend's responsibility, your wife or your husband, your mom's. It's not their responsibility. They're going to add to, they're going to bring their light to your relationship with yourself in that day, but who carries the light? You carry your own light. Your light is inside. So we all look for things outside ourselves, and I always say, whoa, it's an inside job. And I posted something about Lance Armstrong a few minutes ago on Facebook, and you know, he won Tour de France 7 years in a row. Unbelievable, not even touched by anybody, any human being alive. And now he took a couple of years off. Now he's going pro triathlon at 38 years old. Right, and he got second place in his first real pro triathlon the other day in Panama. And he finished second, and somebody passed him in the last 30 seconds of the race. And he basically said, whoa, it's all about the run, isn't it? I've got to learn how to rediscover my running. And I need to learn how to look inside and get peaceful with myself about that. His whole answer was, how am I going to get better? I'm going to look inside. And that's Lance Armstrong. Now, I work with Olympians. We work with, you know, the Jim Carreys and the Will Ferrells and you know, the A-listers all the way to the CEOs. I can't tell you how many CEOs are so wrapped up into stress and pressure. I mean, artists, musicians and actors and so forth, all into this stress. And every time they numb their stress with either eating or drugs or meds or sex or something like that, they're just further away from enlightening, enlightenment, back to light. We carry the light. Who's carrying the light? You carry the light. So when somebody gets mad, somebody gets frustrated, they just lost their sense of light. If somebody's like got gambling and they're gambling issues, right? That's not who they are. That's who they are without finding their light. If they would just pause and hold some space for a moment. Okay, and I always say it's okay. It's okay as a way. How do we start? How do we start you know, going from, you know, giving away our power and loving everybody else but not ourselves, and by the end of the day, fatigued or fried, or the end of the quarter, or the end of the semester, I'm volunteering for all of these things for my kids at school, and I have no time for myself.
Yay.
I mean, I hear it all the time, right? And they're trash. They're completely fried by the end of the semester. And they're like, what do I do? And I go, don't volunteer for everything. What do you mean? Well, you told me not to be a good human being. I said, no. I said, I think we need to just pause here a second, and I think you've lost yourself, and we need to find ourselves. So I'm not talking about, you know, Gary loves himself. Gary loves himself. Who's going to love me? You know, of course other people will love me, but it's not their responsibility.
Yeah.
It's my responsibility to love myself. So it's not selfish. It's just self-care. It's what we're here to do. We're human beings. We're here to figure out. Nobody teaches us how to love ourselves, how to take a day off, how to take a moment off. You know, and then this worthiness and deservingness, this is key because we came in that way. And maybe somewhere along the line we lost it. And it's just rediscovering, as Lance says, his passion, his for love of running. It's just rediscovering, really, his worthiness for running at such a high level. So anyway, I know I just went on there a little bit.
No, I get excited about it. I am too. And, you know, it was... You know, I think that's something that's been clicking within a lot of people for, you know, a few years now, where people are trying to get there to that point of, like, self-love and self-worth or whatever, you know, whatever it is to help be your best or, you know, it grow, change, you know, all of those things. I think there's a people are yearning for it in the world, in the country, in the world, whatever, wherever. And, you know, it's interesting that you say it. I always do this with people. I want to go back a little bit, though, and ask you, have you always been this way? Like, were you, like, four going, you know what, self-love, self-worth, woohoo, you know, kind of thing? Or
it's hilarious. I love the question. I love when somebody asks me the question, I'm like, call my sister, you know, call my mom. Maybe they're listening now and they're going, yeah, he was always like this or something. You know, he was just always moving and grooving and shaking and baking, and I just sum it up. Gary's always been Gary, you know, despite what everybody else wanted me to be. Now, look, I'm human, so high and lows, in and out, light and dark, you know, we all have our stuff, right? And it's this, and I'm learning constantly. I'm always a student, and I'll be a student until I, you know, my body moves out of here and my spirit remains. But it's this... just Gary being Gary, Elizabeth being Elizabeth, and just being okay with being you. And so, yeah, I've had struggles like, oh, that 9-to-5 job and realizing that's the last place I need to be, is behind a desk and a monitor when I'm meant to move, you know, and so forth and so on. So it's like you learn that. And what I've learned about life is one big learning, one big teaching. Every single moment of every single day. And that's what we're here. We're here to awaken to these moments. It's like fear and pain. I mean, pain, I love pain. My fascination with pain is amazing. Why? Not because I'm a dark person, but pain is the biggest wake-up call. Pain starts transformation. I mean, when we're in pain and or an injury, let's say for an athlete, I love this topic. It's like, hello, your calf is talking to you? Well, something's out of balance. You're taking on stress. You're not hydrating. You're not stretching correctly. You could be, you know, you're only getting a massage every 4 weeks instead of every week or every 2 weeks. I mean, there's something out of balance. And that's what pain is. It's the biggest wake-up call. And so, along the way, I've had my challenges and my pains. But, you know, it's just staying the course. Having the courage to be yourself, despite $5 in your bank account or despite, you know, what everybody else wants you to do.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Oh, yeah, no, perfectly. I'm gonna keep asking a few questions if you don't mind. And we've got the chat room's going nuts, Twitter's going nuts and everything, so this is going to be hard to get everything in an hour. I can see we're going to have you on again because I can't
–
everybody in the chat room and listening, I can't get to you all. The whole phone lines are lit up. There's 20 people waiting to talk to you. There's no way in the world we're going to get to all of you. I just want you to know that, so we'll do our best here. Okay, so I got another one for you. I'm just going to fire this one off. You train all these famous people, and you do all this stuff and everything. What makes you come on the phone with little old me on Valentine's Day for Best Ever You?
What do you mean, little old me? I mean, why do you
look, I knew you'd say that.
Well, yes. I mean, look, this is powerful. It's powerful. Every opportunity, I mean, my intention, my mission, my reason for being here, you know, a quick little story. You know, I was always an amazing athlete along the way, and you don't know that until you start winning best in this and captain of that, and you start, you know, MVP of that, and you're in the Little League, you're in the Hockey League, and all these things along the way. And, you know, you're not quite good enough, or you get humbled by some other state champion, and then that raises your bar, and you start thinking differently about yourself, and you start working smarter and harder, and you just start climbing that, you know, that ladder. So I'm ready to sign with the Minnesota Twins, and you know, celebrating with some buddies back in Illinois and Chicago area, water skiing, and just ripped up my knee. So fast forward years later, I'm in Athens, Greece. I'm pacing some clients in the Athens Marathon. It's the first marathon, you know, it's the original marathon, city of Maratona to Athens, 26.2 miles. It's an amazing experience. And I call my mom, and I'm at the Parthenon after the marathon was over, and I call my mom, and I'm like, I can't even realize why did that happen to me? Why wasn't I ever a baseball player? You know, why didn't I, you know, do pro? Because I had screws and a whole reconstruction and parts put in my knee and the whole thing. And she just said, son, you're here for another reason. You're here for a bigger reason. And the reason I find is just helping people, assisting people to awaken to themselves. And so you say, why am I on this show? I'm on this show and that show and another show, little by little, gradually handpicking one at a time to spread this message of not me. It's just messages that are coming through me, okay, to others. From yourself to others, that like, yeah, let's go for it. It's in there. Like, let's face your demon. Let's get through that block. I mean, again, my client on this half marathon in Palm Springs, if you want to find your stuff, you know, run a half marathon at one of the best paces you've ever run, and about three or four times, you'll either throw up or you'll stop and quit for 30 seconds and walk and throw a little tiff or a spit, or you'll start crying, or, you know, you'll say, whoa, this is what he was talking about, and I need to just stare it right in the face and move right through it, because it's such Mount Kilimanjaro in my head. And he says, if we just look at our fear, it'll dissipate. And little by little, either half marathon or some of these other events that we do with from CEOs to soccer moms to whoever, is we just having them face their stuff. And when you walk through it, it dissipates. And on the other side is the truth, is the real you. And whether it's an addiction or whatever, it's just facing it. And unfortunately, in the addiction area, it takes a little more compassion, a little more time, and for them to connect to the fact that these addictions are really numbing agents, and they're just not facing, they're running. So we want people to face, because when they face, and sometimes in my work, whether it's, you said, you know, an A-lister or something like that, they're human. So all I do is walk with them. If I pace somebody in a marathon, I'm not going to pace them all the time. I pace them so that they can learn three or four or five skills of four or five marathons in one. So that's why I pace them, so they can learn it in one experience and not take 6 or 12 marathons to learn all that in one that they can, because I'm right there. It's like one big seminar. So with an A-lister, I'm walking with their pain, with them. Mm-hmm. And for me, assisting, the key thing is I can't own their stuff. I have to be able to walk away from it, right?
Yeah.
I have to those teachers, those leaders and teachers and coaches and life coaches out there, you know, one of the biggest challenges along the way you'll find is to be able to assist them so deeply and passionately and channel and so forth, connect with them, but then walk away and not own their stuff.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I love most about you, I don't really know you all that well. I'm starting to get to know you, and I have a feeling we'll be lifelong friends. But it, you know, it's really hard to get to know somebody, you know, if you have this sometimes to know whether you want to be around somebody or not. And one of the things I love to the core of you is your integrity. Can you talk about integrity a little bit? Because you, to me anyway, I don't know if you do this to everybody else, but when I hear you or when I see, go to your Facebook or your Twitter, you know, as best as I can get to know you because we're 3 million miles apart, you know, I just feel I feel that you give off such integrity vibes and just like solid, like rock foundation vibes. What is that? I can't put words to it yet. I'm doing it the best I can here.
Well, it starts with, and I'll attempt to address it as I assist others to do the same, and that is, and again, first of all, I'm a student, so, you know, I'm just practicing moment to moment. If everybody out there, if you're anybody's taking notes, loving yourself, honoring yourself, feeling worthy and deserving, it's not, you know, and again, in the Alcoholics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous and things, it's a day-to-day thing. It's a moment-to-moment practice. Mm-hmm. Moment-to-moment, we're human beings. And one moment we can feel like we just, you know, won the lottery, and another moment we can feel like crap. You know, not worthy and not worth it. And this is life. This is the human being. So assisting people to know that being a human being is okay. You know, if you don't get it right, getting it right is somebody else's definition. There's no right or wrong. It just is. You just got what is, you know. And it doesn't matter if we're 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. It doesn't matter. The idea is not only just to get it. You mentioned earlier, hey, I just got it, this self-love and worthiness. It's not necessarily getting it. It's letting it now, actually practicing it moment to moment.
Yeah, that's what I got. I mean, I don't know, just it was like a wave hit. I'm like, duh. I don't know what it was. It was just, it was like you just finally let go and just let be. And I've got hints of it, but it was really neat. But yeah.
Yeah, and so again, how do this integrity thing is? Look, people know, you know, say you're going to call, you got to call. That's keeping your word, and that starts some of the integrity things. Okay, and we can all do a better job at that. And if you can't do something, say, you know what, the information I know now, a week ago, and say if I knew now, then I wouldn't have made that decision. So I'm going to have to change your appointment, or I'm going to have to move it, or I don't think I can fulfill that. So it's just being honorable and keeping your word and being responsible. You know, as a human being, we're responsible for everything we think, feel, say, and do. And these are some of the core fundamentals: being yourself, loving yourself, being honest, walking your talk, following your heart, choosing peace, staying in the now. These, I call them the eight keys, and you can't practice them enough. You know, as an athlete, we all know, the runners and the bikers out there and cyclists and so forth, we all know you can't do enough hills. You can't do enough track interval repeats. You can't do enough of them with proper nutrition and recovery and so forth, but you can't do enough of them if you really want to have a personal best in your next race. Well, these eight keys of this integrity orientation is this, like, being responsible for everything you think, feel, say, and do. It's not somebody else's. Stop the blaming and the shaming. It's take responsibility. These eight keys, and that's a whole show in itself, keeps you in alignment with the best that you can.
Mm-hmm. What does everybody's a master mean?
Everybody's a master. Everybody's a master at something. If you consistently beat the hell out of yourself, you're a master beater-upper. You know, you're rough on yourself, you know. That's aggressive and rough, you know. If you're a master being timid, you're a master timider, you know. I teach an indoor cycling class for years and years and years. Yeah. And it's classic, if you've ever taken an indoor cycling class, that everybody quits after every song. And I'm like, what are you doing? We don't quit in here. And I always ask, we have a world-class athlete. She's 66 in our indoor cycling class. And she's wins medals at the Senior Olympics all the time. And I go, Stephanie, how many times do we quit in a class? And she puts the big zero up. Why? Because if you quit after every song in an indoor cycling class, five songs, 5 quits and you take 3 classes, it's 15 a week. You have 50 weeks. You quit 750 times a year, and you're a master at it. And you teach yourself how to quit, even though you think you're going to get in shape at an indoor cycling class. You're actually quitting. You teach yourself how to quit. So we teach people how to recover, how to stay with it, how to look inside, how to connect with themselves. I say when they walk through the door, you're here to connect with yourself. It's not about the instructor. It's not about the music. It's not about the bike. Those things are great, and they help. But it's really you connecting it with you. And I love, as a coach and an integrated performance coach, it's mind, body, spirit. It's the face, the people I work with, whether it's an A-lister on their big feature film or it's an athlete, we want to put them into circumstances that make them face themselves.
How did you get into... Okay, so I got to keep asking you things about you because, you know, you're on here and people are fascinated with you, too, in addition to what you're saying. But, you know, when your knee got all busted up in baseball, how did you go from there to, how did you segue from that? I'm sure that was painful. I love baseball. I was talking to you about baseball. How did you go from that to what you're doing now? How did you shift and move on?
College, you know, University of Texas and all that, mm-hmm. and had some great games against the AAA team down there, El Paso Diablos, as in the college team. So I'm playing the pro team and doing well, and then you start really getting looked at. So that whole thing, though, that's where you come up with this. These are these evolutions of my own beingness, and that is, wow, pain is a big wake-up call. Now, if you ask my sister, my mom, I think it was a week or two ago, we were having this conversation. She said, "Gary, you sat in your room for 2 weeks. You didn't leave.
Oh, I bet.
And I said, "I know. I remember going on the balcony and taking my crutches and throwing me as far as I could because it was it. It was the end of what I thought was everything I worked for from 5 years old to, you know, 20.
Sure.
But it really was this awakening, what, to myself. Put the ego aside, start feeling feelings, Mr. Male, you know, males and their intellect or,
yeah.
you know, are really intelligent people out there, the lawyers and the doctors and all these people are high intellects. Get out of your head. I always say, "What are you doing?" "I'm going out of my mind." "You're going out of your mind?" "Yeah, I'm going into my heart," you know, because you want to come from your heart. Why? That's how you were born. That's how you were made. That's where your Buddha, your God, your... That's where your essence is through your heart, and come through your heart. And I really needed to look at what did I really desire to do. And one day I want to be an athlete again. Like, I am an athlete. So it was, I want to be, to the seeking, desiring I'm not, to wait a minute, I am. Yeah, you know, I worked a lot with Mitch Gaylord, who won 84 Olympic gold medal.
Oh,
yeah,
that is my hero. Oh, my God.
All right, so.
I have no idea. I'm a gymnast.
Bless his heart, you know. If Mitch is on the line now, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?" I'd put my arm around him right now and go, you know, look, there was some times he had some challenges, and this is, you know, turning 40 and things like that when you're not a gold medal winner anymore. And I went, no, Mitch. You are a gold medal winner. They didn't take it away from you. You still are. And if you want to be 96 and be that little old man that runs up the steps and lights the Olympic flame in the stadium when you're 96, then be
Rock
that.
On.
You know?
Yeah.
Because remember that many years ago, the little old guy goes up there and he lights the flame. I'm like, yeah. You know, that's us. Because you never lose it. So, again, I was in this, you know, despair. And you put on weight. You don't know what to do. And you just go, wait a minute. Pause. That's where I learned how to pause. And then you learn, like, it's okay. I'm an athlete. Now, how the hell do I get back? You know? So it was literally, you know, talking to my mom the other day about getting her on her next, you know, fitness plan. And that is, it's a half a block.
Yeah.
It's a full block. It's 2 blocks. Double that. 4 blocks. Double that. 8 blocks. You know, it's like giving up alcohol, right? I haven't had a drink, I don't know when it is now, 25 years. At 30, I just said, you know, this doesn't serve me anymore. I have an issue with it, but our family has had many issues with it, our relatives and so forth. And it's like, nah, it doesn't serve me. Why? Because I got a 15-mile run the next day, and something's blocking me from really being my best. What is it? Alcohol the night before with all the guys. So I like, okay, I got to, you know, give that up.
Yeah.
For what? Some other love. Not give it up and be deprived and feel desperate. No, give it up for another love. So
yourself.
Yes, myself and loves within myself, running and being my best and facing myself and all these things. So, again, that's what happened in that knee incident, was all of these moments of truth came up, like we'll do with anybody.
Yeah, well, your stories teach people, though. As you're talking, I'm sure that inspired someone on a variety of levels, no matter who you are, because I think everybody goes through that. Whether you're going to be signed with the Twins or you're just getting older or whatever, you know, I'm sitting here going, you know, I was never signed with the Twins or anything like that, you know what I mean? But I'm sitting here going, you know, I'm not the gymnast I used to be. I might walk around the house on my hands and stuff like that. And about 2 years ago, it really bummed me out. I'm like, man, I cannot flip backwards to save my life, and I'm not even going to try anymore doing that. I'm going to do something else.
Well, I do a program called Without Limits that everybody will see later in the year, and they'll be able to participate, and we can do some highlights from it. But it's infinite. Possibilities are infinite. And it's this buying into, are you worthy enough?
Mm-hmm.
Are you deserving enough to be whatever you want to be at any point in time in your life, at any age, at any fitness level? It doesn't matter. You don't have to be number one in your, you know, in either your age group, or you don't have to be number one in your craft, your career. You are number one. The answer is you. You are number one. You are the CEO. You're the captain of your ship, and your body reports to you. Your mind reports to you, and your heart reports to you. No one else.
I love that. Yeah, you know, I have another question for you. What's your definition of success? Because for me, success might be things that I just do for myself because I want to do them. I don't have so many people define success in terms of money or fame, or there's so many different, so many different measures of success. What's your measure of success? And I'm just curious how you measure
it. I love
success.
It. It's love it. I'm sitting here, I'm literally being honest with you, and that is like success. I mean, I don't even relate to the word.
Thank you.
Why? Now, why don't I relate to the word? And again, I'm not discounting the word or your question. I love the question. And the question is revealing. And that's why I love it. And that is, it's not about success. Success is somebody else's definition.
Yep.
Okay? You got it. You're letting it. And that is, look, it's unconditional love. Anything outside of you. Oh, what's my boss going to think? What's my partner going to think? You know, what is my relationship partner going to think today, and so forth, is conditional. It's outside of you. Anything outside of you is conditional, because when it's not there, you know, it doesn't matter. If it's not there, the motivation isn't there. Okay? So it's conditional. What's really important is awakening to what? Ourselves, unconditionally. It's unconditional love today. It should be called Valentine's Day, the day of unconditional love. Okay? And not outside love. Inside love. Go ahead.
Do you think a lot of the times I have a saying in my head, it's get out of your own way. I don't know if it's good or bad or whatever, but it's just my saying. I say get out of your own way. What do you think about get out of your own way? Do you think that you sometimes have to unstick yourself, get unstuck and do it anyway, and be, you know, so many people so many people just not doing stuff because they're afraid or they're scared or whatever. I always say, you know, you got to get out of your own way and just do it. I don't know. To me, I just do it. And that's
absolutely
not so easy for a lot of people.
Well, it's not easy in their mind. Again, it's fear. And everybody's walking around in fear in some way or another. You are, I am, everybody is, in some way, shape, or form. And most of us deny it. Deny it. Like, you know, just stuff it down in there and I won't have to deal with it today, that kind of thing. But fear is an illusion. Think about this. We don't have yesterday. It's gone. It's past. Okay? We don't have tonight. It's not even here yet. We just have right now. So fear and these blocks, or getting in your own way, or wonder what they're going to think, or wonder what's going to happen tonight, or wonder what if I can make the thing by Friday. you know, is the future. So fear comes from whipping your mind up into the future. And if you get out of your head, one, get out of the future, two, and get into your heart, three, get into the now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's any fear. There's no fear.
Yeah.
And
it's
you
hard.
Look at your fear and it dissipates.
Yeah, I know. I know when I first was talking to you, I'm like, I'm kind of scared of you. It was funny. Remember, I sent you an email going, I'm kind of scared of you because I'm not, you know, you're like deal with all these famous people and everything. And you're like, what did you say to me? You said exactly what you just said. It was like, you know, stay in the now. That's what we've got. You said stay in the now. And ever since, you know, it was another moment for me. I'm like, yeah, duh. What do I have to be afraid of? I'm just, you know,
like,
whatever
what?
Happens
what?
Is going to happen. I can't sit here and be afraid of, you know, if I,
no.
For example, if there was a point where I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to interview him. I'm scared, you know, kind of thing. And I'm like, you know, that is just stupid for me to do that because
all
there
right.
are so many.
So let me ask you something. Okay, this idea of who I am or what your thoughts were. Okay,
yeah.
That was just fear. Like, oh, what's going to happen on minute 37 of the show or something.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just fear. It's not even here yet, or it's here already, and we're whipping right through it. But let me ask you this. If I said, look, after we hang up, I'm going to get on a plane, and all I want to do is say hi to you, give you a big hug, and then go play ball with your son.
Oh, my God.
Would you
God,
be scared of me?
No, never. Never.
That's
exactly.
who I am. That's what
yeah.
I want to do. I want to hang the phone up after we talk to everybody here in the next 3 minutes, and I want to get on a plane and just give you a big hug
when
and then go, where's
him?
Your son? I want to go play ball with your son.
He's so cute. Yeah, and that's the way I feel, too. After you know you, it's like, you know, and that's a life lesson right there for everybody listening because, you know, that fear, I have another saying. It's like half of it is just showing up, and then the fear goes away. It's the most interesting thing. Like when you go to a TV studio, you're just scared. Like, what's going to happen? Am I going to pass out on TV or say the wrong thing or whatever? And the interview is there and gone before you know it, and you've lived.
Well, and it's just love. Like we get the A-listers all the time, and they don't want to sign autographs. I'm like, they're just people
with love
that want to be close.
To
they
you.
Want your autograph, and they want to exchange love. That's it.
That's
now,
all that is most of the time.
Yeah, and when you and again, so when I say everybody's a master, is we're this
yeah.
energy, okay? We're this energy, and so we can let's just think the horizon is out there, and everything above the horizon is love and joy and happiness and optimism and positive and passion and those things you love to do, and everything below the line, okay, is judgment and shame and blame and fear. And I can't, and I won't, and I'm too old, and all of those things. Okay, so we're energy. So you can be above-the-line energy or this energized person, or you can be this dark, okay, or shadowy energy. Okay,
okay.
And we,
okay.
And,
really
and every now, every moment, it's a moment-to-moment practices, where's our energy? So if everybody had a little, like, gauge on themselves, and they like a watch, and you can just look at your watch, are you in the now? A now watch or something, or an energy watch, and it would be a meter. Like you could do speed tests now on your computer, like how fast is it coming in, and am I downloading and so forth. So you get this little love meter on your watch, and it just says, "Boy, are you below the line, dude? You better bring it up, otherwise you're going to attract more negative."
The grumpiness, the grumpies. I call those
yep.
the grumpies. Ooh,
absolutely.
Yeah. The grumpies.
And so really, that's what I mean by this. Not only are we energy, right, we have this GPS. You know, I love it. I get in the car, you put in the address, and it takes you somewhere, right? And you're guiding this roadmap of a GPS, navigation system. And this is our navigation system. We already have one. And it's you got to get out of your head, though, to feel it. And you got to pause a moment and stop all the busyness to feel, whoa. It's okay. Gary says it's okay. Give yourself a break. Get yourself off the hook. Let yourself off the hook and say, it's okay, but boy, was I below the line, Miss Negativity, Miss Shadowy there. Okay? And it's okay, though. Why? Because I'm responsible for finding my light, and you find your light and you work your way back up that scale or above the line. Or in this case, is if you want to go 1 to 10 above the line and minus 1 to minus 10 below the line, you have this gauge. And this is basically a moment-to-moment roadmap, navigation system, call it what you want. I like to call it emotional guidance system, EGS.
Yeah. It's a good, that's a different kind of heart monitor, isn't it? It's a
good one. Totally.
Yeah. Do you find, I know I don't know if you do or not, but I find laughter and humor in almost everything, and I don't know why I do that, but something is always funny to me. Do you have humor in your life in abundance? Are you pretty, I mean, it just seems like you do. You seem like you got a good sense of humor. And how important is
to
you?
I love to do what I love. And in what I love, there's always a big smile. There's always a big laughter. And look, ask my friends, like, oh, he can get serious, or he's too serious every once in a while. And I'm focused. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going deeper into myself, or they don't understand, or, you know, they may not ask. But, yes, laughter, loosening up, you know, letting go, surrendering, absolutely. It's amazing. It just shifts the cellular content in your body. And we all have to work at it. Have to work at it.
You know, the other thing I want to ask you, and I'm probably going to fumble around here a little bit, but for me, I've lived a life my entire life, and it was very difficult in high school to leave my life this way, but I have led a life of alcohol-free, drug-free, cigarette-free, everything-free, and I don't know where I learned it, but it was just who I chose to be at a very, very, very young age.
Awesome.
And almost everybody in my Facebook are friends from high school and grades up and grades below, and, you know, they're my buds forever and ever. And at first they were all like, you know, you're kind of weird. You're not going to party with us? What's wrong with you? And I'm like, no, that is just not my thing. And I don't know why. And I didn't grow up in any kind of alcoholism environment and do opposite. I just decided not to do that. And it's an interesting life you lead. How hard is it to lead a life that doesn't go with the pack? A lot of it goes to the contrary of society and being at a party and drinking that or smoking that or whatever. I just didn't do it. Sometimes it was kind of lonely.
We call that the mass consciousness. And it's being myself, just connecting with my desires. Who am I really? And I've had enough along the way of doing the pack stuff. You know, I couldn't connect with those guys in high school, and I didn't want to be a druggie, and I was a little bit of a jock, but I didn't like the jock thing, and, you know, all these identifiers, right? And then you just keep going along the way, and it's like, no, you just be peaceful, be confident, be comfortable with yourself. And this is the core, beginning of all of these teachings that are, you know, each, you know, year are going to become more evident, and more people are wrapping their arms around in a compassionate way, and that is less ego and more heartfelt, driven.
And is that what you mean by it's okay? Like, it's okay to just be who you are, and that's the self-love and the self-worth and everything. Is that what you mean by that when you say
okay? Well, it's okay. It's okay to be human. It's okay to make a mistake in somebody else's eyes. It's okay to, like, whoops, paid that bill late. Whoops. It's okay, meaning don't keep doing it, don't pitch a tent there, and don't become the late bill payer. On the other hand, it's okay means don't beat yourself up with a baseball bat or be so hard on yourself instantaneously.
Yeah.
Like, why did I do that? And, oh, my God, I always do that. And that. Is what I mean.
Yeah, I don't do that. That would be too long of a life for me to lead. I don't know.
Well, it's living life uphill. So when I say it's okay, it's like when you say it's okay I'm human.
Yeah.
It's okay I make mistakes.
It's okay
I didn't understand that. It's okay I misunderstood that. Mm-hmm. It's okay I misspoke.
Hmm.
Okay? Please forgive me. That's another favorite line of mine is like, please, I misspoke. Please forgive me. Instantaneously, boom. It's like, it's okay. Please forgive me. And guess what? 99% of people will.
People are cool, yeah. Where did you learn to write so well?
Oh, it's a practice. Everything in my life is a practice, moment to moment. You know, I started literally, my first book was a book on wisdom. And it was this thing, it's just tethered and trashed now and underlined it and highlighted and and I didn't read a lot. I read books on wisdom, just quote books. That's it. That's all I read. I had all these books. You know, now I have thousands of books, and I just moved into a new little place, and I'm like, oh, I've got them in storage now. I've got to go through
books?
Them. And, yeah, and donate some.
I don't think I could ever move because of my books. I have so many books. I think it would be a moving truck just for my books. I don't know. There are so many books.
Isn't that painful when your
books are in storage, though? Oh.
Well, the key is those are things outside of you. So then it's like letting them go and listening. And listening to your guides and listening to your intuition, and you can call it whatever you want, listening to a voice or listening to what you feel and feeling what you feel. And that's where writing comes from my perspective. You know, that's where a song comes from, pain in a singer, and or the blues, you know, or an artist. And they just go in and connect with the in creativeness, the inness, that spirit, its soul inside themselves. And that's where writings and art and music and athletic world records, and that's where that comes from.
Yeah.
It's all creation. We're creators. We're architects. We're creating every, you know, there are no idle thoughts. Every thought is either above or below the line. Every thought is creating something.
I'm going to move us in a different direction again for 1 second, because that on that note, there are a lot of negative thoughts about aging. And again, this is just a little bit of what I think, which may or may not be important or anything. You know, people can take what they want. But I'm maybe one of the few human beings in the world who's not freaked out to age. I'm not going to Botox myself, because unless my hands are going to get Botoxed as well. You can tell how old people are. You know, I don't hide my age. I don't do that. Why is there such a why are people so afraid to age? That might not be the perfect question. Is it fear?
Fear.
Is it fear of dying?
Fear. Fear of losing. Fear of letting go. Fear of being themselves.
Fear.
Misunderstanding maybe a little bit about, you know, things evolve. Like for as an athlete, we all know out there that the older we get, in our 40s and our 50s, we take a little longer to warm up. We need an extra day off. We can get to the times and the achievements in our 30s at 45, 55, but it takes a different, it's a different template. So understand, not getting stuck in our ways. So letting go and understanding, you know, people always say the reinvention, the Madonna reinvention. Remember years ago, she's always reinventing herself. Guess what? So are we all. Hello.
I never understand, this might be totally completely stupid for this call, but I never understand why I'm going to ask a question about celebrities, and it may be inappropriate, but why don't celebrities feel the love that we have for them? Why are they always so worried about aging and this and that? You know, the most beautiful celebrity I've seen in a long time on TV was Meryl Streep the other day on the, I think it was the Academy Awards, when she left her glasses at the table and the whole room fed her glasses all the way up to the stage. It was like real.
Yeah. Well, first of all, she's a real human being. I'll let you in on a little secret. She's real, and she's a real female, okay?
Yeah.
And there's real males out there. And they're real, male or female, doesn't matter. They're humans. And they have ups and downs. And they have moments of, where are my glasses? And they have moments
so
of brilliance.
Cute.
Right? And that's
terrible.
Just, yeah. And they're real. And again, this they surround themselves a lot because they have a lot of requests and a lot of people want to get to them. And a lot of people want their money and a lot of people want their energy and their attention.
Okay.
So there's that. So they have to have some sanctuary. Like you have, right where you're doing the show now is probably very created for empowerment and best selfness. And they have their own places and ways. So everybody does.
Got it. Okay.
They're no different than anybody else. They have another zero. Maybe they have a plane they ride around in, you know, that kind of stuff.
Just a different thing. Okay. Can we talk about hips for a minute, or do you not want to go there?
It's hip to talk about hips.
We got to talk about it. It's hip, isn't it? So not knee, but hips. Hip or hips. You have one replace or two? I know my husband.
Yeah, I've got one original hip.
Yeah.
And I have a new hip I received a couple of years ago, and
yeah.
I'm working my way back into competition. And on the bike, I'm pretty well there. And then on the running, that's coming.
Yeah. Was that a bummer setback as well? Like, were you completely bummed in your room for 2 weeks again, or were you okay?
Well, I'll tell you what. What was so awesome about it was, again, back to pain, right, and frustration, yeah. and their wake-up calls, and that everything happens in our day is to help us awaken, right? So here I am feeling good about myself. All right, that was 20-something years ago, my knee, boom, 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 right? And all of a sudden, boom, the hip goes out. And this, I don't know, I was on my fourth Team USA in a row or something like that, and I was just looking forward to the next season and competing at a high level, but as an older person. And boom, it's like taken away from me. So literally, I will tell you honestly from my heart, and my friends know, I literally had about a day to a day and a half of despair, of like, I don't know what I'm going to do. What do you mean? I thought I paid my dues. I thought I did all that recovery and rehab. I thought I ran 51 marathons on a reconstructed knee. I thought I've shown the world, you know, you can,
yeah.
you have no limits. And it went, no. The world's getting older. Do it again. Show us how to do it again. So it had a big meaning to it once after a day and a half. Now, some people live there a month and a half, a year and a half, 10 years, and never adjust, never get their hip fixed.
Yeah.
But it was a day and a half, and then I knew I was on this mission of finding the ultimate surgeon. Why? Just to get me back to movement. That's first of all. And then into competition, I deserve it. I'm worthy of competing again.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to talk about my husband for a minute here because I remember my husband is a former baseball player, and he had that moment. I could see the look in his eyes, like the lights went out for a little bit. The sparkle went out of his eyes for a little bit when the doctor said, they're both going, and there's no cartilage left in either one of your hips, and they have to both be replaced, because he was downing 9-10 Tylenol a lot. You know what I mean? Just terrible
yeah.
pain from no cartilage.
I know it.
Yep. And just awful, and he couldn't walk up the street, and he couldn't do anything. And so he became the 10th person in the state of Maine to have both hips replaced at the same time. Dr.
Yeah.
Babakin did his surgery. And he was up and walking around the next day. And so many people are afraid of having their hips replaced because of cutting through muscles and things like that. And this doctor maneuvered through the muscle and didn't cut anything to replace his hips. It was so fascinating, the surgery that they did on him. And
well, it's a miracle. It really is a miracle.
Unbelievable.
Well, the body's amazing. It's miraculous. And it wants to be healthy. And when we adjust our nutrition and we adjust our movement and we adjust our mindset and we adjust our love, we adjust our nutrients, we adjust our hydration, we adjust our rest and care for ourselves, it starts becoming mm-hmm. balanced and healthy again. And in the case of a body part, there are ways now, technology-wise, to replace the part, make it work as good or better than the old one, and, of course, certain adjustments along the way. But the magic of a new, let's say, an arm or shoulder or a knee or a hip, is working your way back and actually connecting to yourself again.
Yeah.
And that's really this holistic, zen-like process that's really going on, and everybody thinks it's just this high technology and this, you know, medical procedure. No. It's the holistic side of being human, starting from scratch. In my case, you know, at over 50 with a new hip, and then wanting to compete again at a 30, 35 year old level. So my work's cut out for me. It's a process.
It's awesome because I'm just trying to draw an analogy because, you know, I can see him being able to play with the kids and go up and down the street and run around, you know, coach little, you know, do all the things that he wants to do with these hips. And that moment of fear was so worth it to get to where he is now 2 years later with both hips. And it really was for him probably 18 months of dealing with the fact that he had new hips. And he would say, you know, of all the things that would ever happen to me, I never thought this would happen. Of all the things, you know, kind of thing. And I'm like,
exactly.
It did, and you'll be all right. But he had to really learn to free, you know, walk and run and everything on new hips, and it's really been quite a 2 years with him doing that. So very,
yeah,
very interesting.
I felt the
yeah.
same. It sideswiped me. I had no idea.
Totally
but
got
the
it.
The universe sent it and said, now deal with this. You've got a lot more tools. You're a lot more connected to yourself. You mm-hmm. can do this. And you're really here to help a lot of people. Assist them, just show them that it's possible. And mm-hmm. so anybody out there with knee pain, or you might need a knee replacement or a hip issue, or need a new hip, you know, anywhere from migraines to, you know, challenges, is yeah. something's out of balance. And that needs to be addressed. And it's an opportunity, this pain, and this is an opportunity, and your hesitation is probably fear. And if you just look into your fear, it'll dissipate, and your truth and yourself and your real core self is on the other side of that. And that might take 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years, but chip away at it, and you'll know when you're ready. And mm-hmm. don't let people, you know, push you and force you and, come on, why are you going so slow? And no, you got, people, you know, the ultimate way to do things is when you're ready.
Yeah.
And that's and maybe address some of these blocks of why you're shutting down or why you're so scared. Work on those, because once you work on those, you'll just make quick decisions.
Yeah.
Like when I found the right surgeon, it was instantaneous. I'm like, that's the guy, I'm going. Where are you going?
Yeah.
India. My family went, oh, my God, you're going to India. Why are you going to India? Because he's the master in the entire world to do what I need done and to get me back into competition. Okay.
That's so good. Bye. You know, there's somebody on hold waiting to ask us a question, and I don't know if I should take a call. There's only 3 minutes left to talk to you. There were a lot of people, and I think they're I don't know what to do. There's 3 minutes left, but I don't think I'm going to call her from 416. If you could type out your question, maybe we could get to it that way instead of going live at this late in the show. What haven't I asked you that I should have asked you? Other than to get on that airplane.
Well, here's two things, okay? People ask me all the time, oh, this is great, you're doing this mind stuff, Gary, and you're coming from your heart, and you're asking us to go into your heart, but give me two things on my body. I mean, like, what can I do? You know, come on, you're holding out. Tell me two things, okay? So write these down. I mentioned them briefly at the very beginning of the show, and that is water, sunlight, movement, self-love, worthiness, and deservingness. And again, there's more, but those water, sunlight, movement, love, and worthiness will really take your health to a whole nother level. Properly hydrated, proper amount of sunlight, proper amount of regular movement every other day, every day. You know, with Jim Carrey, I called it the Gandhi walk, and we just started him walking.
Gandhi walk.
I always, because he respects these high-level people that moved and influenced, you know, millions.
Cool.
He wants to hear, what do they do? And I said, well, Gandhi walks. I'm like, really? And I was like, okay, let's walk. So we started in by walking, you know. Somebody's just getting started, you want them to walk. Just getting my mom walking again, you know. And this, again, understanding this self-love is not called selfish. It's called self-love. And it's not, and it's worthiness, as we were born worthy, and somewhere along the line you bought into somebody's vision of you of being unworthy. So shifting and working on that, your health will completely shift to it's like a compass, and you just need to point that compass, you know, let's say true north is health. That's where it'll go. And then the other thing for women out there, one little quick tip is iron. If you haven't had your iron checked, that's your iron levels in your blood, it's a simple test. Just ask your doctor to do it. I'm sure they will. And the other word is ferritin, F-E-R-R-I-T-I-N. Ferritin is stored iron. So iron in your blood and stored iron, those two things create oxygen in the red blood cell. Oxygen. And life is all about air and water and oxygen. That's why we say movement. So if you don't have any oxygen, like somebody, a cancer patient, will have a very minimal amount of oxygen in their red blood cell.
Yeah.
Where Lance Armstrong will have a tremendous amount of oxygen in his red blood cell.
Yeah.
So the difference is what? Energy.
Energy,
and if you want more energy, get your iron and ferritin checked. And I guarantee you, my guess is if we did a survey, 6 or 7 out of 10 women out there have low iron.
Are low on iron, yeah, always. Yeah, I know I do. I have to really watch that all the time to make sure that I'm not low on iron. I don't know why, but it does that with me too. But I'm on a sugar detox. But you know what? I hate this. We're out of time. And we have to go. I'm bummed. But
we're out of time now, but we have plenty of time in the world.
Time in
right?
the future, yeah. I hope you'll come on again, and we'll talk more with you. And let me, we've got 20 seconds. I feel rushed, so, thank you. That's
if anybody wants to go to GaryKobat.com, there's a free ebook, Your Invisible Power. Go for it.
Perfect. Yeah, GaryKobat.com, K-O-B-A-T. And we'll follow up with more about Gary and the Best Ever You Network. And thank you, Gary, for being with us. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy We Love You Day and Love Yourself Day and Self-Worth Day. And what else did you call Valentine's Day? You have a new name for it.
You're the most important relationship you have.
I love it. All right. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful day. And thank you to everybody who listened. And visit besteveryou.com and GaryKobat.com, K-O-B-A-T. Take care, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, love.
Thanks, Gary. Talk to you soon.